here
yeah,
in
see,
the Northeast.
Last, yes, you're right. We're going to...
In the South, we didn't even consider
it. I got it,
but
bro.
Here.
I'm just going to scoot it. Thank you. Wow. Yes, last time Chad was here, it was during COVID. We can kind of cuff this here. I am not...
No, I appreciate your attention to detail. You guys are lucky. He cares about the details.
Well, I don't want to... Facing me over here. We're all good. Thank you, guys. Awesome. Awesome. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow. Thank you for a beautiful time of worship there. It's interesting, when we were talking about a week ago or so, I said, you know, just having a theme of faithfulness today. We're, as a church body, in 2024, we should be doing this every year, right? As I continue to scoot back so I can see you all. Every year. You know, but our anthem is knowing God more. Obviously, it rhymes with 2024, but really pressing in. And certainly as a church and our pastoral staff, to keep focusing in on that in our services and beyond 2024. And one of the themes that we're seeing, and it's not new, but it needs a reminder every time, if that's a new word, of God's faithfulness in what we sang. Faithfulness in the sense of Psalms, King David continuing experiencing his faithfulness through the valleys and the mountaintop experiences, but that also the faithfulness of Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and I think it's 2 Timothy 2 or somewhere, where he's saying, and you just kind of mentioned it as well, the other side of faithfulness is, as we are faithless at times, God continues to be faithful to us. In 2 Timothy, and Paul was encouraging Timothy with all he was going on. So even when we fall short, he's faithful to that. I just want to mention something just in our worship time, and it's an interview, so I'm going to be limited in my speech. Amen? By faith, I'm not taking this over. But I did sense in the last two songs that there were some folks in here, and it's not a surprise, that are really dealing with a lot of unforgiveness. And when that song came at that one point, I don't know why the mountain hasn't come down. I don't know. I'm not going to sing it, but the mountain hasn't come down. And just in my spirit, and you're wanting to experience that faithfulness that we just sang about, but there's some unforgiveness that is keeping the wall up. You're cemented it pretty well. So I would just encourage you, you know, make that a priority in your life of getting unforgiveness out of your life. And somehow we do that as surrendering to the cross, the love of God. But unforgiveness, but faithfulness will come in. You guys have been a band, look at my transition, you guys have been a band for how long? Unspoken.
Well, I'd like to speak to the
Please,
unforgiveness
keep going.
Thing real
this
quick.
Is all free here. Right?
I can't remember what passage of scripture I was studying, but so we are called to forgive because we've been forgiven. So we know that. And we're also called in the epistles to... do our best to restore, right? So restoration takes two. It has to be two parties. So you have something against your brother, or your brother has something against you. You drop, this is what Jesus said, you drop your offering, your time of worship. You go make it right, and then you come back to worship, which is opposite of what we do. We come to church over and over and over, let all these offenses and things like that fester and all of that. Point is that in order to restore relationships, it takes two. So you can go and ask forgiveness, and if someone doesn't forgive you, right, that's on them. You did what you were supposed to do. So to recognize that you can only do what you can do, but forgiveness only takes one. It only takes one. And that's why you see people who have been abused and their abusers die or whatever the case, they can still forgive, because forgiveness is what happens inside of us. It's what God calls us to. And it's proof, you know, that we are His. And He's saying, you've been forgiven so much, yet you won't forgive? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And there's a great parable about this, you know, that paints this picture, but just that, the idea, we do our best to make things right, but you can only do what you can do. but you always can forgive. And again, I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. Sometimes we have to forgive over and over and over and over. We have to keep bringing those short accounts. So don't feel shame when you forgive somebody and then 2 weeks later you're like, oh, I feel a little something here. You just give it back to God. All right, Lord, I just give it back to you because I want this, you know, I want to forgive this person. I'm going to lift it up.
Yeah.
So I just, as you were kind of feeling that in the spirit, as I was studying a little bit about that, I was thinking about
that. The camp back there, that I think it's in Matthew, what you were talking about, where leave your sacrament, your offering, and go forgive in that worship. I mean, that is just so powerful.
That it's like
the
almost
prioritization
of exactly that. It's that's more worship.
Bingo.
We're so accustomed to thinking that worship is coming into church and singing songs. Mm. That is nothing. Mm. That is literally nothing. Mm. You know, and you have it, and might as well open it. Huh? Come on.
You're on fire. Keep moving, man.
We got the Bible here. What do we have to say? Who cares?
Yeah, true. Yep.
But, you know, it says this. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that will be acceptable. The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him.
That's good.
What's the way to worship him? To surrender our lives, our bodies. You know? To be living a living holy sacrifice. You know, it's like, wow. The songs are nice. And they help us feel God's presence. And he's worthy of the singing. But there's so much more that he wants from us.
A life of worship.
You know?
Right. That's good.
I'm the worst at this. Yeah, I just saying I'm not, I don't have it figured out. I just am like, oh, this is what God's been speaking to me. You know,
part of the journey, right?
Yeah. But we've been a band since 2003.
Thank you.
And that's my transition.
Chad's back. The lead singer, as you can tell, right? Yeah. Right, Chad? That's beautiful. Yeah. What year again?
2003.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, you've been through here at least 3 or 4 times on tour, and then you came, Chad, I think it was with Matt last time, and these guys live in Nashville, but they were born and, I believe, raised a little close by. What state was that? Yeah.
We were both raised in Maine.
Yeah, they're Maine boys.
Yeah, so...
yeah.
So don't say nothing good's ever come out of Maine.
Come on,
look at God,
there
you
has
know?
Been. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And John, you're a pastor's kid, right?
I'm a pastor's
kid. So your dad's still pastoring up there in
Bahaba.
He's still a
pastor up there. Yeah. Yep, in Ellsworth, Maine. You got to drive through to get to Bahaba.
Yeah, they can't get there from here. I've heard that before sometimes. Wow, beautiful. So, I mean, we're going to have them sing some of their material, their unspoken songs soon. So, and I've always been, I don't want to say fan, but that too. But most of your music over the years has spoken to me because it always seemed like an invitation to the heart of God. Because there's a lot of Christian contemporary music. We've had a lot through here, and it's all good. But I've really been drawn and found an appetite created when I hear your music, that it's really inviting whoever, a listener, into the heart of God, what he's about, the goods, the bads that we're about that need to align with God, and the real journey that we have. And I've always appreciated that with you doing that. But talking about faithfulness, I mean, we can start anywhere. I mean, how, John, just what comes to mind, and why am I seeing myself up on a big TV? We've never done that before. But what comes to mind when you're talking about God's faith? We're doing everything different today, so we won't even let you go today. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But John, yeah, speak to that, wherever your heart is on that.
Faithfulness, yeah. Like you said, I was actually reading that passage this morning in 2 Timothy 2 about, you know, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful.
Hallelujah.
And I've seen that in my own life. You know, every moment of every day, you know, if you really examine your own life, you realize even the good I do, you know, it's just filthy rags. And so I have to constantly just, you know, fall at the feet of Jesus and be like, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, it's not my righteousness, it's yours. And, you know, by placing my trust in you, you know, the Father can look at me and you can look at me and say, this is my beloved child and who I'm well pleased. So that's what comes to mind when I think of faithfulness, is just how faithful he is in every moment.
Beautiful, yeah. And even the oxygen that we have. Go at it, my friend. Go at it.
In fact, if you think about like the name Yahweh, it's even in every breath. That's the sound of breathing, in and out. Yahweh.
It's, that's good.
And that was sort of like in every breath that it's His faithfulness.
That's good. That's good.
So there's the book of Philippians. There's four chapters. And verse 4:13, you know, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's taken out of context quite a bit. Because I love to play golf. And if that verse was true, I'd say, well, honey, there might be a chance that I could get on the PGA.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Let Chad's will be done.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. But the fun thing is that three big life verses are Philippians 2:13, 3:13, and 4:13. 1:13, it's not that good.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad either.
Resonate.
I'm just teasing. But I want to read you this because this speaks to the faithfulness of God.
Amen.
And so many times it's so hard to understand the grace and mercy because we don't know anything like it. You know, grace is God imparting to us what the good that we don't that we don't deserve. Okay, that's grace. He's imparting to us good that we haven't earned. Mercy. And grace is a New Testament word. Mercy is an Old Testament word, kind of used more. Mercy is God withholding the bad that we do deserve. So either way, God is merciful. He's gracious. He's faithful to not give us what we do deserve and to give us what we don't deserve. I mean, this is crazy. But I love this verse, and it says this. It says, we work hard. So he's saying, work hard to show the results of your salvation by obeying God with deep reverence and fear. So we know that we're called to be faithful. And that should be shown in the way that we live, even though we don't show it a lot. With the story I told you at dinner last night. I won't tell it here. But here's this verse. This speaks to the faithfulness of God. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Don't you see that it's not only that He gave His Son for us, that He would live a perfect life, take the sin of the world, my sin, your sin, and all we have to do is believe in His name, right, to be saved. But then it goes on to say that God is working in us, giving us the want to and the power to execute. It's like that speaks to the faithfulness of God. And I just think to myself, any good that we do is because God's working in us, giving us that desire. And any good we do, it's the power of God working in us by the faithfulness and mercy and grace of God. And so it's everything we do comes from the faithfulness of God. And that we could walk in that and try to accept it, you know. It's just hard to accept. Because we're so unfaithful. How could God love us? But He does. Because of Jesus. And that's beautiful.
That's good. That's good. As a band, do you have maybe an example you can share or a story of, you know, it's not an easy venture. I mean, you live it. You know, 20 years of a band, pretty much. And, you know, your first show wasn't in front of 100 people, I bet. Right?
Our last show wasn't in front of 100 people.
Okay, all right, well, but the journey that you've had and God being faithful, for some maybe learning to, you know, what is God's will for my life? And it's, you know, it's in the instruction manual and how the Holy Spirit guides us for that purpose too. But when did you ever feel that, what am I doing? And then God came around it to be faithful, or just in your journey? Because it wasn't all roses, right, at the beginning. And still, it's not. It's an interesting life you're leading and called to.
First?
Full time.
I'm just thinking, like, it seems like our story, it's taken God a long time to show up in the ways that I thought He should.
That's okay.
You know? And or I thought He might. And I've learned, like, more and more, the more I think of ways that God could do X, Y, and Z, it's usually not what he ends up doing. His plan is not my plan, but I trust his plan. But the point is that we've seen his faithfulness, and I just wanted to remind, because I need to be reminded, that just because it's taken a long time doesn't mean he's forgot about you. Doesn't mean he's not working. Doesn't, you know, he already planned out your victory over whatever it may be before the foundations of the earth. Every day of your life was planned out before you took a breath. And so he knows what he's doing. And I don't know why he takes. Like, I've struggled with addiction, and I've been 21 years clean now. And so there's that. And then, and then, you know, like, as a family, like, we've been through debilitating anxiety and mental health things. And through prayer and therapy and community and all of these different things, like, we're doing so much better. But starting in 2017, like, till 2013 and about 2019, it was 6 years. And believe me, I was mad at the Lord. Like, why don't you see us? Why don't you care? Why don't, you know, but again, the faithfulness of God, when you think you're going to be finished, he carries you through. And now I'm on the other side. We're on the other side of that battle. And so even just to speak to people that struggle with debilitating anxiety and things like that, mental health things, there is victory and there is freedom from those things. Yeah. And sometimes it takes more than just prayer. But of course we pray. Sometimes it takes more than just the word. Sometimes we need a professional to help us process some of this stuff, a Christian one. Anyway, just his faithfulness. He's been faithful, but it's been annoying. That's for sure. And I just want to know that, like, it's human to be annoyed at God's timeline. But if we look back again, the Israelites spent an entire month every year coming together and talking about all the things God had done. And remember, how many years was there between the prophet and Jesus? Was it 400?
I think it was 450 or 400.
Four or 500 years between the last prophet that spoke on God's behalf and John the Baptist. And so you're thinking there, like, that's a long time to not hear from God. He hasn't given up on you. You know, keep holding on to him. And it's these seasons that again, bring us close. I wish it wasn't hardships that brought us close to God. But it seems to be, you know, one of those things.
I think, too, is unawarely when that's happening, and I can't attest that I'm perfectly getting this every time, but when we're going through that valley and where God is, he's sharpening something in us. He didn't cause the valley experience in many cases. In most cases, usually we just do things that we shouldn't have or did or whatever. But there's maturity beginning to develop at the same time. So the faithfulness will come in, and you'll look back and say, wow, that experience was not something I would have scripted and would have loved to do, but look where I am now, right? And that's the thankfulness. But there's a maturity of, like, I know God is faithful because I've been through that valley, you know, and it's just neat to see.
And
that.
It's not that God just wants us to be saved.
You're right.
He wants us to be partakers in his kingdom. And so in order for us to be able to be usable to God, right, we have to go through things. He has to shape us into his image. And if you shape something, it's bend, it's push, it's, you know, I just took, and I'm not even going to say this, it's too embarrassing. I just took a sourdough class. Okay.
Really?
Now, my wife was supposed to go. She bailed and made me go.
Oh, wow.
So it was me and 10 ladies, and my sister was one of them.
Wow.
It was a little embarrassing. But the point is that, like, the shaping that you have to do to the dough, like, there's a lot there, like, in order to make it what you want it to be. And God has a plan for each one of us to shape us into his image.
Amen.
So that we can do the things that he's planned for us, the good works, before the foundations of the earth. I can't remember what verse, but maybe Philippians?
Yes.
But the point is, You know, that comes through hardships. Yes. Yeah. But it's his faithfulness, yes, his goodness, because he has something for us to be. And that's what makes us come alive, too, is to be part of his work and his kingdom and all of that. Anyway.
Amen. No, that's kingdom building. Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. And we're called to that, to find through purpose. So beautiful. Faithfulness and family, John, any things that have come recently? And you have how many kids?
I have three.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Who's your oldest?
So I have two daughters, 9 and 7, and then a son who's 4.
Okay.
Who tests me every day.
It doesn't slow down.
Yeah. yeah, definitely the faithfulness of God speaks to me when I think about just the family and the band. I remember when I'd been married about a year. And my wife was a nurse at the time, and then we found out we were pregnant. We were going to have our first kid, so my wife was going to have to take a break from being a nurse. And up to that point, she'd been my sugar mama.
So, yeah, they know, do. All right.
This was after a 4-year music degree and everything. When I started with these guys, Chad was like, "Well, we can probably pay you like $30 a week." So that just covered my student loan at the time. But, so yeah, then married, got a kid on the way. And I remember I was doing my taxes that year and I saw, oh my goodness, I made less than $10,000 last year with Unspoken. And so I was like, I went to the guys and I was like, I'm going to have to quit. I mean, there's no way I can keep doing this. I'll go work at McDonald's or something.
Yeah.
This was before $15 an hour.
Yeah, before that got me.
He could do 1,000 things. This guy's crazy talented at so many things.
But I remember just all, and I feel like a lot of times faithfulness is, it's just sort of like stepping one day at a time, kind of just the next small little thing. And all summer I was like, well, I can play with you guys through the summer and keep looking for somebody else. And in the fall they can take over. And just throughout the summer, kind of one day at a time, keep still playing with them. And they never actually found anybody. And by the fall, we had our song Start a Fire, and it went number one. Mm-hmm. And kind of like the whole career at that point just sort of took off, and we were able to survive financially at that point. It was just kind of God's like sort of testing my faithfulness, like, are you still going to trust me that I've got this? And, you know, I did and I didn't sometimes, but he worked with me and was faithful to me. And I'm still here.
That's beautiful. Yeah. No, that's good. There was a quote I think I talked about last week or whenever, and my son had reminded me the other day too. It was more in the essence of faith, but faithfulness, it comes together. So it's a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. about taking the first step in a staircase without seeing the whole staircase, right? I'm paraphrasing that quote a little bit and botched it, but it's basically just those steps of faith. I know what I need to do. I know what I can do and need to do, and you hit that earlier, but just do it. What's in front of me now? And have faith towards that for God to fulfill the rest. So it's good. Very good. Very good.
And I think a lot of our life is a calling to persevere. You know, there's a lot of verses that talk about
this. I didn't
hear
any amens out there when you said that. Yeah.
Well, the more I live, the more I'm like, wow, like, perseverance is... In fact, you know, the brother of Jesus, James, talks about perseverance must finish its work for us to become like Jesus. Like, he persevered through all of it. Now we have to persevere through... Amen. And again, it's so... The prosperity gospel is so wonderfully appetizing, but not very realistic when you look at the New Testament. And we know that, like, we're prosperous in so many ways. Like, think about it. Like, we've been forgiven. Like, who can do that? Nobody can do that. Like, that's, we don't think about that. We think about money. And we think about, you know, things like that. And, of course, God provides. He's been cool about all that. But the whole point is that perseverance, and perseverance is like defined simply as hold on, don't do drugs, kids. Yes, pushing through, pressing on, despite resistance. Mm. That's what perseverance is. That's what faithfulness is. Mm. It's moving forward even though there's a pushback. Mm-hmm. Like we want the wind behind us. And we're walking into the, you know, we just had a tornado in Tennessee and the 70-mile-an-hour winds, like, and it just keep going. Just keep pushing forward despite resistance. And so, I mean, again, I only bring that up to say if that's what your life feels like, first of all, you're on the right road. And second of all, you're not alone. Yeah. And I think that's what's important about believers getting together and sharing our lives together, because when I think that I'm the only one walking against the current, then I'm thinking, man, what's going on with God? Why doesn't he love me? What's happening here? And blah, blah. And it's like, well, okay, I'm not alone. And it's really, there is a power in recognizing that we're not alone. Yes. That maybe God's still working, even though my life doesn't feel great or it doesn't feel easy. Mm. He is, because exactly. He's faithful. And again, we're going to do our part the best we can.
Yeah, and some of our distractions are we get caught up, and I'm not saying our emotions, our souls do not get involved and distracted, but we get distracted in so many things that may hurt a little bit, but they don't carry too much eternal weight in anything. We're all going to spend eternity together. That's a long time. Buzz Lightyear says infinity and beyond. I mean, that's beyond. So some of the things we get, they're real. But Paul talks about temporal suffering, too. Yeah. And I think he wrote it in jail, probably, that whole letter. So it's eternity-minded is knowing that. And God's faithfulness to where we're landing, our destination, is really encouraging.
I mean, it's hard to have that heavenly perspective. We live here.
Yeah.
You know, and these things are real.
Yeah. Well,
and God understands it. He understands, you know, I love this, like, that Jesus understands our weakness because
Paul talks about
remembers that. We're only dust.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember where the scripture is. I could probably find it. But the idea is, like, think about Jesus looking at us and us being unfaithful and us falling short and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And remembering in creation, Dad picking up and going, you know, dirt.
And
he's like, they're just dust.
Yes.
That was nothing until I breathed life into them.
Yeah.
You know, of course they're going to be weak. Of course they're going to fall.
Right.
You know? Not that that's what we shoot for, right? We shoot to please God because of gratitude for what he's done for us.
Mm.
But the reality is we fall short,
mm-hmm.
but his faithfulness sustains us.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Good. All right. Beautiful. That's an anointed couch, by the way, because I think it's my dad's old couch and some anointed naps in it. But yeah, some anointed couch there. You guys are going good. Why don't we transition? You guys want to end with a few unspoken songs? Yeah?
I suppose.
Okay, come on. All right. And then I'll come back up and close, but why don't we do that?
Right, let's do it. I'm just going to do fun songs. Actually, I'm going to do two songs.
Wherever you lead, we'll follow. Yeah.
I'm going to first go one more Bible verse. Do you guys remember that music festival, Creation Fest?
Mm.
It was like a big festival in Pennsylvania, a huge festival. There's been a big scandal and all that since then, but it was for years. And I remember God was faithful to us this day. There was a chaplain. So Third Day was going to be there. This is before we were on the radio or anything like that. Third Day was there. Need to Breathe was there. I think we were playing right before Need to Breathe, which we love that band. And I remember this chaplain, the chaplain of the festival was this bald Irish guy. And so he, you know, as we were going up, he was asking us, you know, what do you need prayer for? I want to pray for you guys before we go. And of course, the spiritual answer would be, well, we pray that God would use us and there would be an anointing and blah, blah, blah. And obviously, all of that we prayed. And then we said, but listen, we really need to sell merchandise today. We really need to sell merchandise because we got our van is broken and blah, blah, blah. We need money. And so I remember playing the show, and I think we had sold like $3,000 in merch, which at that time for us was crazy. And so it was awesome. It was like, wow, look, you know, we asked and God answered our prayer. But I'll never forget this Irish guy at the end. I was sharing my testimony during the show and all of that. And at the end, he said, Chad, your story is powerful. It's wonderful. And I'm feeling all good about myself. Like, thank you. I mean, glory to God, but thanks. And he said, but there is a greater story. There's a greater story than yours. And he encouraged me in that moment, you know, to tell his story. Yes, use my story, but what has Jesus done? What does the word say? And so when we talk about all these different stories and he's asking questions, I want to go to the word because it is good about what I experience, but what does his word say about it? This is food for the soul. This is truth among, you know, a very confusing world. But I want to play more Church to Church. And I don't really like a microphone, so I usually talk like this. But I try to do it loud. Let's see. Hold on, I'm almost there. Getting. Here it is. So this right here is, it says, are any of you suffering hardships? Then you should pray. Are any of you happy? Then you should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church and come to pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you had committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed, because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has power and produces wonderful results. And the whole point here is there's a power in confession. And when we confess, 1 John says, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So through our confession of our recognizing that we fall short, that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that he is the one that can save us, through that confession, we're cleansed, right? And we're made right in God's sight. But then here it is, right here in James 5. So it says we're saved when we confess. But when we confess our sin, right? Before we confessed our sin to God, 1 John. Now we confess our sin one to another. And what's it say? That you'd be healed. So I'm just here to tell you this morning that there is power in being humble enough to confess your sin to somebody, to some person. Because although you may have forgiveness, you might not have healing. You're stumbling over the same things over and over and over and over. And so there's a power in confession through talking to one another. And that's one thing that's helped me stay sober all these years and kept me on the right path, that I've had people to say, my life is a wreck right now. And through that, somehow, God heals us, makes us whole. And I'm just grateful for it. So all that to say is this next song is, it's not a dig on church, right? Because we love church. We are the church, right? But because I'm in recovery, I've been to a lot of meetings in my life. And it's in those meetings, when I first got saved, that I recognized, man, there's something, this feels more church than church. Because at least people are willing to be honest with where they're at in life. And so many of the times we have to pretend like our lives don't hurt and they don't stink and, you know, all of that. And so we wrote this song as an encouragement to the church to bring that same humility and transparency to the body. Because when we do, it gives other people the ability and the freedom to say it too. So sometimes you got to be the one to step up first, to give that permission to somebody else. But it goes like this. I wish Sunday morning could feel more like Tuesday nights. 12 steps down to a basement under harsh fluorescent lights. All ages, all races, all walks of life at 6 p.m. Stumbling in to keep ourselves from stumbling again. Strangers spilling secrets in a circle without walls. Trying to reach for Jesus instead of drugs and alcohol. All sitting in a gray folding chair, sipping coffee in a white styrofoam cup. Ain't nobody throwing stones up in here. Can't judge cause we know we all messed up. Ain't no steeple, just broken people. Wearing no shame tags on our shirts. Where the truth is, the truth heals more than the truth hurts. And that's more church than church. Thank you. Suit and tie, a tattoo sleeve, don't matter, wear whatever. Bring your baggage, you ain't got to have it all together. 20 years without